This is Mark Strassman, reporter with American Politics Today. We're about to speak with Chuck Pryor, who's the legislative liaison in the office of Matt Blunt, who's the Secretary of State of Missouri. Welcome to American Politics Today.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to talk about a remote internet voting system that's been instituted for Missouri voters, and I wanted to start by asking when and how did your office determine that there was a need to use the internet to help Missourians overseas in the military to vote in the November 2nd elections?
Well, actually, for quite some time, we've had concern expressed by military individuals about the inability to get things through the mail and concern about getting their ballots to them and then back and to be counted in a timely fashion. In July of this year, we were approached. We actually received a letter signed by the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice offering us several options when military voting concerned. Secretary Blunt felt that this option was a good one that would give kind of a third alternative, kind of a last means of resort if an individual in a military in a zone that was established by the federal government did not receive their ballot in a timely fashion to be able to return it. This would give them a fail-safe option to take advantage of, so they could, in fact, cast a ballot.
Could we focus back on what happened then in July? You're saying that the Pentagon and the Justice Department came to you, initiated this?
They sent a letter. I believe they sent it to all states. I can't say that for certain, but I know I have a copy of the letter here.
Would you be able to email a copy here and we can put it up on the site?
I can try. Okay. I'm not sure if we have that in electronic form, but I'll see what our IT people can do.
Okay, and the idea was that they proposed to you that you get involved in us in this plan that we're now going to talk about.
Right. There were several options included in the letter, and Secretary Blunt felt this was probably the best option for Missouri to take advantage of.
Okay, so he decided to go ahead, right?
Right.
And what did the Pentagon do, and what have you done to set up the system?
Well, basically, we have worked with the Department of Justice, the Department of Defense, and developing the forms, and then we disseminate the information to the local clerks in the jurisdictions, and they have forms that when a military person, overseas military person, requests an absentee ballot, they send them all this information. Under current Missouri law, we cannot transmit an absentee ballot electronically. We do have to do that through the mail.
Okay. What about the military personnel? Can they request the absentee ballot electronically?
They could fax in a request, so I guess that would be an electronic
but
format.
But not over the internet?
No. It must be a faxed request, faxed or written request.
And so they fax or mail a request to their local jurisdiction,
authority.
Right?
And then the local election authority sends them an absentee package.
Okay.
And included in that would be there's a cover letter that must be signed by the military individual when they return it. They can do it one of two ways. They can fax it back directly to. Let me correct that. They actually have three options. They can put it in the mail.
Now, when you say it, are you talking about the ballot?
The ballot and this information.
Let me go one step further back. Is there a deadline for the military personnel to request the absentee ballot?
The deadline, I think, to request an absentee ballot, I think you can request those in the jurisdictions of Missouri up to, I believe it's the Friday before the election, I believe. Now, obviously, that would be inadequate for anyone overseas.
Right.
September 21st was the last day that local jurisdictions had to make that. They had to have them available by the 21st. They could do it sooner, but they absolutely had to have absentee ballots available to the public by the 21st of September.
Does Missouri have a system whereby people can be permanent absentee voters?
No.
Where they sign up and then they always get an absentee ballot?
Can't no, you must request absentee ballot.
And do soldiers have any, by which I of course mean air people and naval people as well, do they get some privilege as they join the military to say they want an absentee ballot in advance? knowing that they're going to be overseas?
No, there's a period of time, and I don't have that in front of me, but there's a period of time that you can request an absentee ballot.
And it applies to them as it applies to everyone else.
Right, it goes per election cycle.
Okay, now these people who are eligible to use this system, those are people both in the active armed services and also in the active National Guard?
Now, you're talking about which system, the absentee system or the facsimile?
Either, both.
Well, anyone that's overseas,
right,
military and non-military,
right,
can use the overseas absentee process.
Okay, right, the people eligible for this remote internet voting system.
Well, it's not internet. It's electronic format.
Right.
It's not over the internet.
Okay, I hope we'll get to that in a second.
Okay, yes, but ones that are specifically eligible for this particular program,
right,
have to be in one of the 53 designated combat areas around the world.
Right.
And those are designated by the Department of Defense.
Right.
There are 53 of them around the world.
Right.
It's a combat zone / hostile fire / imminent danger zone.
Right.
So any military individual in one of those dedicated zones, and we provide that list to the local election officials.
Right.
They are eligible for this scan / facsimile program.
Is that the name of it? Does the program have a name other than the program? Is it the scan / facsimile program, or you want to give it a name, or does it have one?
We call it, basically, it's a facsimile program because they can do one of two things.
Right.
Well, again, they have three options. They can return the ballot through standard mail procedure.
Right.
They can fax it directly to the local election official.
Right.
Or they can participate in a program where they go in and they scan it into a PDF file.
Right.
That is electronically through a closed system, a closed email system within the Department of Defense.
It's right
out on the internet.
Right.
It goes to the Pentagon.
Right.
And that is returned back into a faxable document and then faxed from there,
right,
to the local election official. And the purpose for the additional scanning capability is because a lot of the individuals in the military out in the field have access to the scanning and closed internet system,
right,
or email system, but they don't have a fax machine.
Does that system have a name?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, but otherwise known as the scan and PDF system.
Right.
And so on.
In the end result, there's absolutely no difference for our local jurisdictions because they, in the end, whether the soldier faxes it directly or it's through the Pentagon, they're going to receive a fax. So the PDF file, the electronic format, is only from the soldier to the Pentagon.
Right, so it's essentially... It's transparent, or there's no difference from the election officials at the local level receiving a fax that's
right
directly from Iraq, or a fax that's directly from Washington that's
correct
come from Iraq to Washington by.
So they will never receive anything over the internet, no PDF files, anything like that. It will be an actual fax.
Okay. How many people are eligible to participate in the system from Missouri?
Well, it's hard to say because the Pentagon, you know, they don't release a lot of that information. We estimate that there's approximately 3,000 Missourians stationed overseas.
In those 50.
We cannot attain that specific information. That
right.
A lot of times the military can't tell us or won't tell us. I mean, they're not.
Right.
They're not going to tell us how many particular people are in a hostile area.
Okay, but there are 3,000 Missourians overseas.
From our best estimation, approximately 3,000 Missourians have been activated and are in the overseas service.
Okay. Who's paying for this? Missouri, the Pentagon, or who?
The program is no additional cost to Missourians.
Okay.
Again, it's just like local officials. If they receive a fax, anytime they request an absentee ballot, they're required to mail one out anyway.
Right.
And this would the only difference would be that they would receive this by facsimile rather than actual. And what we do is we encourage those military individuals, if they choose to fax it either themselves or through the Pentagon, we encourage them to go ahead and mail in their hard copy.
Right.
Just in case there's some question later on.
Okay. Do you know if any other states took the Pentagon up on its Pentagon up on its offer and are doing something similar?
I believe it was South Dakota also participated.
All right. But other than so that would make 2 out of 50. states.
I believe that's correct.
Do you know why your state's doing it and 48 others aren't?
Well, I mean, I can't answer why nobody else is doing it.
Right.
We feel it's a good option, one more option to offer the military individuals that are serving us overseas. And, we just think we need to take as many steps as we can to provide those individuals with the opportunity to participate in democracy, since that's what they're over there fighting for.
What other agencies needed to be consulted by the Secretary of State, or was this something he had the authority to do on his own?
We had, as the chief election authority, Secretary Blunt had the decision-making power on this.
Right. What is it that gave him the authority to authorize, for example, apart from the scanning and faxing system, the faxing system, has that been established, a settled principle of law that people can fax in their ballots from overseas for a while?
Yes. We, in 2002, in one of the election reform bills that was passed, it established the authority for the Secretary of State to participate in the electronic, I'm paraphrasing here, the
right.
transmission of electronic ballots in cooperation with a program approved by the Department of Defense and the Secretary of State.
Okay. So, do people send in their faxes of their ballots?
Yes.
What about the privacy of the ballot when it's done that way?
When they, on this particular program, on the cover sheet, the military individual is required to sign it. There's an affidavit there, and included in that language is, I understand that this will remove my right to a private ballot.
And that applies both to the faxing and the scanning and faxing?
Yes.
And they have to sign that same affidavit?
Right. They understand that they waive their right to a private ballot. And again, this is a third, and let me give you an example.
Right.
There was actually a member of our Missouri legislature that was activated and serving in Iraq.
Right.
And in the primary election, he had requested his absentee ballot in a timely fashion, but he did not receive it until 2 days before the election.
Right.
So there was no way for him to participate because he had no facsimile machine available to him.
And he, in fact, was running for re-election.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is running for re-election.
Right.
But that, besides that point, I mean,
right.
this now gives him the option, if that same situation occurred in the November election,
right.
He would now have the option to choose. He could choose whether he wanted to give up his right to privacy and go ahead and PDF file it and then have it faxed,
right.
Or not participate in the election.
He wasn't able to vote in the primary.
No, he wasn't, because he could not access the fax machine.
Right.
And did not have this program available.
Is he still there now in Iraq?
Yes, he came home on leave at once, but he has gone back now.
Okay. What can you say about the Omega Corporation that the Pentagon tells me is running the system for them, that's essentially converting the PDFs into faxes? Do you know anything about them, who they are? I've been trying to track them down and haven't found out anything.
We don't have any particular information. All we know is that the letter we received was signed by the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice.
Right.
And the Department of Justice has been very involved in the security of elections. So we are confident that because it is a closed system and the government is contracted with them, we have full confidence in the program.
Do you know particularly, I assume you're not a lawyer, but whether the right to privacy of the ballot is an alienable rather than an unalienable right and people can waive it?
Well, certainly they can. We've done that for years in the state of Missouri with disabled individuals. They have the option whether to ask someone to come into the booth with them and assist them.
Okay, and so this is essentially a similar
it's exactly
basis.
The same.
Okay.
I mean, it's they of free will choose the right to give up their privacy.
Okay, now you may or may not be familiar with the SERVE system that the Pentagon spent $22 million on trying to develop for an end-to-end internet solution that people would be able to vote on computers wherever they were and have the results tabulated by the local election officials.
Right.
They spent $20 million on it. They canceled it for the November elections in January after a report said that the internet itself was so insecure that it would be wrong to use it for internet voting.
Right.
Does that apply to this, or did you say this is a closed system and it's not the internet?
Right. This is not the internet. It's an email system within the military department. It's not an open internet system.
So any of those problems that might apply to the internet don't apply here because you're not using the internet.
Exactly.
On Sunday, I was watching the McLaughlin Group, and Tony Blakely, who was the press secretary to House Speaker Newt Gingrich when he was the Speaker, and he's now a panelist on that group, pointed out in his opinion that military vote usually breaks 70-30 Republican. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that estimate, and did that have anything to do with the establishment of the system in Missouri?
I don't think we've tracked it here in Missouri, but no, that has nothing to do with the decision.
Okay. Have there been any legal challenges to the decision to set this system up?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Do you or Secretary Blunt have any position on end-to-end internet voting of the kind that the Pentagon tried to set up before January to be used in Missouri elections for all voters?
We've not. I can't speak specifically to the federal program, but I know Secretary Blunt would express the same concerns about internet voting. He has no interest in entering in at this time for the same reasons. I mean, security is just not there.
And a question of whether to set a similar system up for all Missouri voters, the ones that live in St. Louis as well as the ones that are stationed in Iraq, doesn't really apply because the military system isn't available to them for the secure email transfer.
Well, again, and this again is because of the delivery of the ballots. We don't see the same problem and sending a ballot. I mean, if you're in St. Louis, or if you're a college student, you can. It's within the state, so the postal system is not the issue there. The issue that causes this is because they are overseas, and we've seen situations where military individuals have not even received their ballots until after the election because of the. And this again, this is only in designated combat areas.
Okay, so you don't see any need for it really in areas other than that.
At this time, we don't know.
Okay, the New York Times wrote an editorial saying this was a set of dangerous precedent. It was a bad idea and it shouldn't be done. Have you taken any note of that?
Well, I don't see the reasoning behind it. Again, if it was an open internet system, I could see their concerns. But the Department of Justice has signed off on this and they are a very integral part of keeping security in elections, so we're confident with the system.
Okay. Can you say whether anyone's used it yet or how many have?
Well, this particular, the PDF program, no, because it's not, I mean, they're not allowed to start voting yet.
Oh, well,
we did have some facsimiles around the state during the August primary.
So no one's used the scan and email system yet at all?
To my knowledge, no. No one has to this point.
Okay.
If they have, we have not heard it from the local jurisdictions. Again, this information is compiled. I mean, this is sent directly to the local jurisdictions. So we don't have absentee counts on any absentee ballots from the local jurisdictions until they announce those to the public.
Well, can people start voting over this system today if they want to?
Yeah, when you vote absentee, once you receive your ballot, you can cast your ballot and return it.
And the absentee ballots are sent out from the local jurisdictions as well, right?
Exactly.
So do you know how many have been sent out to those 53 combat zones?
I could not tell you that, no.
Okay. And when they are sent back, this will only be known to the local jurisdictions, not to your office.
Right. They'll only be included in their absentee ballots because in our instructions to the local jurisdictions, obviously, because of the privacy issue, we requested them to try to maintain the highest level of privacy for those individuals. Now, obviously, the clerk's going to see it, but there's no reason for anybody other than the election, bipartisan election team that has to count the ballots for anybody else to know about it.
Okay. The Times editorial said that they were worried about a number of things. They didn't seem to like that they had to sign away their privacy rights.
Well, they don't have to do it, first of all.
Well, in order to use the system, though.
Well, that's true, right. But it's an option. And again, you either don't vote or you sign the waiver. I mean, that's
right.
And so I think that's a legitimate choice to make.
Right. They propose two other scenarios here that I'd like you to comment on. He says, the Times editorial says, when the people handling ballots know who they are cast for, having the privacy right having been given up, it is not hard to imagine, they write, that ballots for disfavored candidates could accidentally be, quote, lost, end quote. Are they getting carried away here, or do you think that that's a serious concern?
Well, I think any kind of election fraud is a concern.
Okay.
I think the way it's structured in Missouri, we have bipartisan teams at the local levels.
Right.
I think we need to be vigilant anytime you're dealing with ballots.
Are those bipartisan teams going to be privy to the identity of the people voting?
Well, they are the ones in the local jurisdictions. The bipartisan teams are the ones that open. They have a Republican and Democrats there
right.
that open all the absentee ballots.
Right. I noticed also you've got a Democratic and Republican elections director.
Yes.
How does that work exactly? Do they do the same job twice, or do they watch each other all the time, or what?
They work as a team.
Okay. Sort of the same way that the election of that the pairs of bipartisan people work in the precincts.
Exactly. They're co-directors.
Okay. And then the Times goes on, and because the e-mailed ballots arrive as computer documents, they say to the Pentagon, it is possible to cut off the voter's digitized signature, attach it to a ballot supporting another candidate, and send that ballot on to the state to be counted. Is this preposterous or a reasonable worry?
Well, I suppose if somebody wants to perpetuate fraud, it's a possibility, but that's why we encourage the military individuals to go ahead and mail in their ballots, so if there's any question, they can be compared at a later date.
Okay, and again, back at the down at the precinct level, you're saying a Democratic and a Republican Party representative will both have access to the facts, the incoming facts that's been created off of the digitized scan that will.
They're present when the ballots are counted.
They're present when the ballots are counted. Does that mean they're going to be looking at them and seeing who voted how? Both
yes.
of them?
That's just any absentee ballot. When you mail your absentee ballot back in,
right.
whether you live in Missouri or overseas,
right.
there's a bipartisan team that sees that.
Are mail-in absentee paper ballots, is that inside of one envelope, inside of another envelope?
Oh, yeah, there's a privacy envelope in there.
So that a person signs the outside envelope, and then that's certified, and then that's opened,
right.
and then the inner ballot is essentially thrown into the ballot box, and nobody knows who cast it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with the facts, that doesn't happen, does it?
Well, at some point, someone in the local jurisdiction will see who sent it over because they have to send it with a cover sheet.
Or will the
and
cover sheet
be signed?
Will the cover sheet be taken off at the Pentagon by the Omega Corporation?
No, the local jurisdiction has to receive that. That's part of the information they have to have to verify that that's the individual that voted.
Okay. But there won't be the equivalent privacy envelope that exists with paper ballots.
No.
Okay. All right. And as far as you know, there have been no complaints, no lawsuits, and everything is going to go ahead as you're planning it, except you don't know how many people have voted yet using the system.
No, we don't have that information from local jurisdiction. We've received several emails and a few phone calls from military individuals. Actually, the voting assistance officers overseas, we've gotten a couple phone calls to verify the process and some emails that have been very thankful for us offering this to them.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you also for talking to us about it today on American Politics Today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.